When I was perusing the newspaper Sunday morning, I came across this and I thought, well, here's another stage in the story we'll definitely have to be talking about Tuesday on Issues, etc. Illinois druggists pledge to defy rule. The rule is, of course, that Governor Rod Blagojevich in Illinois has said they must, if prescribed, provide the morning after pill to those patients who have it prescribed to them. Well, some of them are saying, no, we won't. You may say we have to, but we won't. We're going to pick up the story right there here in the first 20 minutes of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're back live with you this Tuesday. It's the 23rd of August, and our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. State Representative Ron Stevens joins us for the first 20 minutes of Issues, Etc. to talk about the Illinois pharmacists and the morning after pill. Then we've got open lines for the remainder of that hour and a bit into the next. What are we going to be doing? Oh, yes. For the remainder of the first hour, we're going to be hearing from Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson has made the news. Boy, has he made the news. He has suggested, he has outright stated that the U.S. ought to assassinate a foreign leader, the president of Venezuela. He says it would save us money. We have the power. We have the means. Why don't we just assassinate the guy? We'll hear from Pat Robertson and then from those who are reacting to his recent comments. And we'll also hear, if time permits, a bit of a survey taken recently that says that Christians, especially church-going Christians, according to the survey, are far more in favor of the war in Iraq. And we'll find out what that's all about there in the second hour of Issues, Etc. From 4 to 5, Stephen Parks is our guest. We're going to be discussing baptism with him. And then in the third hour of the program, from 5 to 6, a sermon review. Now, we're going to do something different during this sermon review. Same old sermon review that we normally do, our three-part diagnostic. You're familiar with it. This time, rather than tell you up front who's giving the sermon, we're going to combine our sermon review with something that we've just added in the last couple weeks here on Issues, Etc., and that is Name That Denomination. After our sermon is over, I'm going to ask you to name that church body. Where did it come from? We'll not only review the sermon, we'll also play a little bit of Name That Church Body in the third hour of Issues, Etc. Again, our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. State Representative Ron Stevens is our guest. He joins us to talk about Illinois pharmacists and the morning after pill. Representative Stevens, welcome to Issues, Etc.
How you doing, Todd?
Doing very well. Bring us up to date on this story, if you will, that we read about in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Illinois druggists pledge to defy rule.
Well, basically where we are is the governor, by executive action, decided that failure to dispense the morning after pill was a violation of someone's rights. We don't see it that way. This is a religious issue. This is there are a certain very small minority of pharmacists, of which I am one, that feel for religious convictions, whether you agree or not, we should be allowed to have our own religious convictions, that dispensing the morning after pill is hugely different than dispensing birth control pills. Birth control pills prevent pregnancy. The morning after pill, in my opinion, ends a life. And I believe that any pharmacist invoking their religious beliefs should have the right to not follow the dictates of a single governor. And that's where we are in Illinois right now. The governor's executive order has been signed off on by the Legislative Rules Committee, the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules, which is a bipartisan committee of House and Senate members. There's legislation there is a legal action pending in Chicago that's being engaged by the pharmacists at Osco Drugs in the Chicago region. That's where we are today.
Well, now the St. Louis Post-Dispatch story talks about, let me see if I can find the language here, A legal showdown. Has any action been taken on the part of the governor's office to try to enforce this rule with those pharmacists who, as a matter of conscience, and of religious freedom have refused the government's order?
I can't prove to you that it is this action that I'm about to describe was compelled by the governor's office. However, I can tell you on a personal basis, both the pharmacies of which I am part owner, at least one pharmacy that I'm aware of that's owned by another legislator, all three of those pharmacies, within days, mere days of the governor's executive order, for the first time in recent memory, in years, I have never seen the morning after pill prescription. It's never been prescribed in either of my stores. But within days of the governor's order, all three of those pharmacies that are downstate pharmacies had prescriptions on their counter presented by the way, the same woman. Now, I don't know if the governor sent her or if the pro-abortionist sent her, but I can tell you she did present herself in both of my stores.
So it looks to you, as a pharmacy owner, that compliance is being tested by someone.
They would love to bust us. And I, you know, I don't know what they get from this. They're trying to, well, they're misrepresenting it. In so many ways, it's very frustrating. But, you know, the governor will look you right in the eye and say, this is a health care crisis for women. It is a, they should be allowed to get their prescription, no matter what their prescription is, on their demand. And all we're saying, we're not saying that they can't have it. I'm not trying to stop the government or from companies from producing this medicine or from women from having the prescription. We're not that old. We're just saying if you're going to do this questionable practice, the morning after pill is the very worst form of birth control. Abstinence is first. I agree that people who are sexually active who don't want to become pregnant should use condoms. They should use birth control if that's their personal choice. But don't tell me that this questionable practice of the morning after ending a life, as I see it, is something that I have to do. It's really a non-issue. There are maybe, I don't know how small a minority we are. I just know that it's very small. Just from my anecdotal evidence, most pharmacists that I talk to are quite willing to dispense the medicine.
Now, doctors are not required in any sense to prescribe this medicine
if their conscience says no.
Is it, someone might say, well, a pharmacist is different than a doctor. A pharmacist simply has the duty of carrying out the doctor's orders, whatever they may be. How would you respond?
As if we have no judgment. As a matter of fact, that brings up a good point. The governor's order says that you shall fill the prescription in a timely manner, irregardless of anything else. Now, what if, for instance, that particular woman, and in this case, and this is true in my case, the woman presented the prescription on a Wednesday in one of my pharmacies. I wasn't there. I would not have dispensed it. But the pharmacist who works for us, they've made a conscious decision that they want to dispense it. I'm not going to prevent them. I'm not going to invoke my religious beliefs on another professional. But if in my other pharmacy, 2 days later, the prescription is presented, and my pharmacist there said, there's no way I'm going to dispense. I know it was just given down the street here in the next town. But according to the governor's order, that would be against the law. You can't, for any reason, refuse to fill the prescription. You know, we're not robots. We're not monkeys doing the will of the governor. We have a conscience. We have a mind. We are professional medical providers. Why the governor decided to pick on 50 or 100 or 500 of us compared to the thousands of others, this is not an issue except to prove a popular political point for the governor.
Is this really any different, Representative Steffens, than a pharmacist saying, look, we've had these prominent pain medications that have, some people are saying, very dangerous to the patients who take them. I'm thinking about Vioxx and others. The pharmacist who's in the know who says, look, I know you have a prescription for this from your doctor, and it may not have been pulled from the from the shelves, but I can't in good conscience give you what I consider to be a dangerous medication. And simply saying no to the person, go to a different pharmacy.
Certainly. And for medical purposes, the analogy is exactly that. You're exactly right. Again, the governor's, this governor, I don't know what guides his conscience, but I do know this. I don't want him guiding the conscience of right-thinking religious people who, I mean, we're not a bunch of fanatics here. We have a very common sense position. We just don't agree that the morning after pill is something that we can dispense in good conscience. And this is America. Don't we have those basic religious rights? I don't know when they took them away, but I'm not going to let this governor take my particular right away. And I know there are a couple of dozen pharmacists in Illinois who would rather be jailed or possibly even lose our license than to violate this principle.
Has the American Pharmacists Association weighed in any way on the governor's order or on the whole issue in general?
The Illinois Pharmacy Association has. They reacted to the governor's original proposal when he issued this executive order. They were prompt, and I appreciate their position because a majority of their members really don't care one way or the other about this issue. They don't have a problem with it. But on behalf of those few of us that did have a problem, the Illinois Pharmacists Association took a position against the governor's executive order and even supported one of the lawsuits. We're party to one lawsuit, but I understand that particular suit in Sangamon County has been thrown out. The National Association, I'm sorry, I just don't have knowledge of that.
Someone might ask, why not just in the... Now, this may not be the case in your case because you're part owner in pharmacies, and you've already said the other pharmacist, or at least one other pharmacist in your employ, will dispense the medication.
Right.
But someone might say, why not just not carry that drug at all? Would that be sufficient?
No, it's not sufficient. The according to the governor's order, and this came up in at least one case that I'm aware of, the pharmacist said, look, we don't carry it. This is in a small downstate pharmacy. There are more than one pharmacy in town. This particular pharmacist told the patient the name of the pharmacy and the pharmacist in particular, right down the street, maybe four blocks away. They said, you can get this filled right now, right down the street, by this pharmacist. And the patient, according to the governor's dictate, said, no, I want you to order it. And if you don't, you're in violation. And that's the nature of the governor's executive order. The only way you may not be forced to order it is if you don't carry birth control medications at all. And I don't. There are very few pharmacies, only a couple of the religious hospitals who don't carry them at all.
So what is going to happen, as far as you can tell, Representative Steffens, and what can we do about this?
Well, I think we could all take a moment to pray for the governor, and maybe he should have the benefit of a little better guidance. On a practical day-to-day, in a practical day-to-day manner, all I can see happening is we're going to have to pursue this test case. It is in the Cook County area. That jurisdiction is where the case has been filed by the pharmacist from OSCO. We have to let that be decided, and then we'll go from there. This is a very, very serious issue about religious freedom. It has nothing to do with health care.
State Representative Ron Steffens, thank you very much for being our guest.
Very nice talking to you. Bye, Todd.
Coming up here a little bit later in the year, in fact, Friday, November the 11th, I'm sure that these kind of issues will also be discussed at the Image of God Bioethics Conference. It's coming up here in St. Louis, Friday, November the 11th. We hope to be broadcasting live from this bioethics conference here at Issues, etc. Even if we're not, you will see regular guests on the program, meet them and hear them present, among them Wesley Smith and many others. Now, this is something that you can't miss. It is a who's who of issues, et cetera, I guess, but also a who's who of bioethicists from a pro-life position. The Image of God Bioethics Conference. For more information, you can find the logo for the conference right there on our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. It's the Image of God Bioethics Conference, Friday, November the 11th, here in St. Louis. Pat Robertson is, of course, many things. He makes the news on a regular basis. He's a political activist. He is the host of the 700 Club. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's also the founder of the Christian Coalition. And he's been around for a long, long time. Occasionally, usually in the political season, but occasionally he has things to say that catch people's attention. And boy, did he catch everyone's attention recently when he was talking about how the U.S. government should be dealing with Venezuela, and in particular, the president of Venezuela. Now, I've listened to Robertson on a regular basis. Most of the time, he is out there talking about American culture, about Israel. He's turned his attention south of the border. We have some audio to play for you from Pat Robertson, some reaction to that audio from the president of the National Council of Churches, or I imagine he's the executive director of the National Council of Churches, during the next 40 minutes here on Issues, etc. I invite your questions and your comments as well. It's open lines 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We'll play Pastor Robertson's remarks for you, and then I want your reaction to it. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What did he say? You haven't heard about this? Robertson said Monday that the 700 Club, that the U.S. should assassinate Venezuela's president, Hugo Chavez.
I don't know about this doctrine of assassination, but if he thinks we're trying to assassinate him, I think we really ought to go ahead and do it. It's a whole lot cheaper than starting a war.
Well, it certainly is cheaper than starting a war, but I'm interested in his logic here. Hugo Chavez thinks the United States is out to get him personally, perhaps even assassinate him. Robertson says, well, if he thinks we're going to assassinate him, let's just do it. It's the cheapest way to go. What do you think about Pat Robertson's recent comments about Hugo Chavez assassinating Hugo Chavez? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The Reverend Robertson says that the U.S. should set aside its ban on assassinating foreign leaders to kill the Venezuelan president.
We have the ability to take him out, and I think the time has come that we exercise that ability.
Well, we certainly do have the ability, although I don't know if it's as easy as Pat Robertson imagines it might be. You just send in a commando or two and boom, he's gone. I distinctly remember 20 years ago trying to deal with another South American, Central American dictator, and it was nowhere near that easy. But, okay, it's cheaper than going to war. We have the ability to do it, so we have a motive, that is, it's cheap. And we have the means, that is, we can, so we should assassinate him. Here's some more of what Pat Robertson wishes.
We don't need another $200 billion war to get rid of one, you know, strong-arm dictator. It's a whole lot easier to have some of the covert operatives do the job and then get it over with.
Well, easier, yes. The question is it right? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I mean, so far, he has a certain point, doesn't he? It is cheaper than a war, $200 billion. We do have the means to do it. And it might be simpler in the long run to do something like this. But what about the ethical considerations? You know, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. What do you think of Pat Robertson's call for the assassination of the Venezuelan president, Hugo Chavez? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's open lines, issues, etc. Finally, the Reverend Pat Robertson, founder of the Christian Broadcasting Network, host of the 700 Club, says that Chavez is, well, the problem is, he's a destabilizing force so very close to the U.S.
He's going to make that a launching pad for communist infiltration and Muslim extremism all over the continent.
So not only do we have the means to do it, not only is it cheaper, that is a bit of a motivation to assassinate Hugo Chavez, but if we don't, he's likely to become more dangerous to us and open the door for further dangers to the U.S. Has he made the case, as far as you're concerned, that, look, if it's cheaper, more expedient, we have the means, it's a simple operation, and if we don't, we're likely to suffer the consequences for having, well, we could go to war, but it costs us $200 billion. A simple bullet, a simple force of commandos, assassinate Hugo Chavez? Has he made the case to you? I want to hear from you on Pat Robertson's remarks. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, most of the time we would ask the question, do Christian leaders have any business telling the U.S. what to do in its foreign policy if they don't have a clear scriptural basis? That is, thus saith the Lord, we ought to do this. Here the question goes a bit beyond that. Is it appropriate for Christian leaders not only to tell the U.S. what to do in its foreign policy, but to tell them, hey, it's high time we assassinated somebody? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Perhaps you heard the remarks from Pat Robertson. Perhaps you heard some reaction to it over the weekend. I want to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk first with Jay, who calls from his car. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Pastor Todd. How are you?
Very well.
I used to listen to Pat Robertson a lot, and I thought a lot of him, but my estimation of him has just plummeted. I think that any right-minded Christian and the people like you that have the opportunity to speak out have to come out against him in a hard way. Otherwise, we're no better than the Muslim clerics who we claim ought to come out against the extremists. That's extremism. There's no difference in my mind.
Jay, thank you for the call. One of the things that came to mind was exactly, for me, was exactly what Jay had been saying there. I mean, okay, let's say for the sake of argument that Pat Robertson is really serious. Now, there's no reason to think he isn't serious. He might, within the next couple of days, retract it and say, I was just speculating out loud on the air. And fine, if he wants to do that, then he can do that. Let's take him at his word for the time being. How is it, and I pose this question to you, how is it any different from a mullah or an imam in an Islamic country calling from their pulpit? Now, Pat Robertson's pulpit happens to be an internationally syndicated radio program and network, the 700 Club, calling for the assassination of, say, George Bush. He's a thorn in our side. He's a problem. He's on television, radio. It's a television program. He is seen by many. If there were an imam or a mullah or otherwise an Islamic cleric calling for the assassination, well, there are, aren't there? Sure there are. From their bully pulpits calling for the assassination of George Bush or the Prime Minister of England, we call it terrorism. We call it inciting terrorism. Jay says it's the same thing when Pat Robertson does it. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be back right after this with your phone calls.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc. One nation under God. In God we trust. God bless America. Is the God of American civil religion the God of Orthodox Christianity? Our Issues Etc. book of the month for August is titled The Anonymous God, The Church Confronts Civil Religion and American Society. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can learn more about The Anonymous God on our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. regular guests David Adams, Ken Sherb, Al Schmidt, Ron Feuerhahn, Cameron McKenzie, and Mark Sell have all contributed chapters to this book. The Anonymous God costs $16.99 plus shipping and handling. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for August, titled The Anonymous God, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org for The Anonymous God.
Now this Global Minute lets you hear about a way to free up amazing resources for international and local ministry. Randy Alcorn, author of The Treasure Principle, says, "Only live on what you truly need."
The Christian community should be filled with people who set a cap on their lifestyles. This is all we need to live on. By God's grace, we will live at this level, and everything beyond that that God provides will go to help the poor, will go to the cause of world evangelism, will go to missions, will go to the glory of Christ, because I don't need it.
Alcorn was addressing the 2004 Bethlehem Conference for Pastors. Ask God to guide how you'll use the resources He's given you. Mission Vision Network would like to give you a free CD of Randy's message. Call 1-800-268-0461. That's 1-800-268-0461.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. I really fear Interstate 70 from St. Louis to Kansas City. The reason? Truckers often pull in front of you willy-nilly. I know most truckers are careful, but some aren't. A friend says it's greed. There's great pressure to deliver as many loads as possible, as quickly as possible. A Minute reader passes along this from AP writer Kristen Gelino. She says, a rush to purchase $50 used laptops turned into a violent stampede Tuesday, with people getting thrown to the pavement, beaten with a folding chair, and nearly driven over. One woman went so far as to wet herself rather than surrender her place in line. Again, greed. Harmless or deadly to civilized society? Jesse Sandler said he was one of the people pushing forward, using a folding chair he had brought with him to beat back people who tried to cut in front of him. I took my chair here and I threw it over my shoulder and I went bam, the 20-year-old said nonchalantly, his eyes glued to the screen of his new iBook as he tapped away on the keyboard. They were getting in front of me, and I was there a lot earlier than them, so I thought that it was just, he said. Judges 17 says, everyone did as he saw fit. I'm Dale Meyer.
Sometimes you can ask a Christian if they read the Old Testament, and they'll say something like, no, I prefer to stay in the New Testament. And sometimes what they mean by that is that they're so put off by the violence and bloodshed that we find in the Old Testament, like 1 Kings. We'll talk about 1 Kings 15 into 16 next time on The Bible Study with Pastor Mark Hawkinson.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
I don't know about this doctrine of assassination, but if he thinks we're trying to assassinate him, I think we really ought to go ahead and do it. It's a whole lot cheaper than starting a war.
That's Pat Robertson. He is talking about assassinating Hugo Chavez, who is the president of Venezuela. Pat Robertson, of course, host of the 700 Club and founder of the Christian Broadcasting Network. He made this statement on the 700 Club yesterday. I want your reaction to it as well. We've got people lined up. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Jay says it's the same thing as an imam from his pulpit in an Islamic country calling for terrorist acts in our country. What do you say? Birdie's up next, calling from her car. Hi, Birdie.
Hey, how you doing? I haven't talked to you for a while. I think one of the things is the fact that it's hard judgment, by getting rid of potentially one leader, we could be saving hundreds of innocent civilian lives, women and children, and people who aren't even necessarily involved in the situation, like what's happening in Iraq, that, I don't know which is the lesser of two evils, I guess.
Okay, so let me make sure that I hear you saying exactly what you're saying. When you say lesser of two evils, you would consider it wrong to assassinate Hugo Chavez, but it may be a wrong necessitated by a greater wrong if we don't, something along those lines?
Yes, that would be correct.
But you would consider it wrong to do it?
I don't think it's necessarily right to go in, but I mean, it would be like the death penalty too in some ways. You know, this person committed all these crimes and it's very difficult to make that decision. Do we take that life or not? But I think it would be wrong, but I would consider it a possibility if knowing that it would save many, many human lives.
All right, Bertie, before I let you go, regardless of what you think about assassinating foreign leaders, should Christian pastors be advocating this kind of action?
No, I don't necessarily think so. So I think, if anything, study groups can bring up conversations and such like this, but a lot of people who, I'll do quote-unquote church people, who don't necessarily, who swallow whole a lot of things, may take that leader, whatever their pastor leader says, as is, and believe the way that they believe along those lines, and not necessarily think through it themselves. So I think it's kind of one of those personal issues that needs to be, researched and discussed.
All right, Bertie, thank you very much. Okay, Bertie says this may be the lesser of two evils, and Christian pastors, and a guy like Pat Robertson might make others say the same thing without really thinking it through. Let's talk with Roger. He calls from his car. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Pat. Back on May the 23rd, on the Savage Nation, they played a recording of some, I think there were imams and religious leaders in England calling for the assassination of Tony Blair and President Bush. And now those people probably are no longer in England. They've been exported. So I really think he's way off base here. And usually I've noticed lately that whenever he wants something, it's for his financial good. Like when he tried to get the hurricane moved with prayer because it didn't want it to knock down his tower. And then 7 or 8 months before that, he was complaining about something because he was going to lose $1 billion in the stock market. So I think he's a very self-centered person, and I think he's way out of line here.
Roger, you've obviously been watching some of what Pat Robertson's been saying. I wrote a piece unpublished as of yet on Pat Robertson and his moving the hurricanes around with prayer. He's got about a... Even by his own records, he's got a pretty lousy record of moving those hurricanes around, even the one that he was trying to pray off of his own piece of real estate there on the East Coast. John calls from his car. John, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. One thing that I appreciate about listening to KFUO is and reading some books on Lutheran, on a Lutheran perspective, is the left-hand versus the right-hand kingdom. And, in regards to a minister getting up and saying, as Pat Robertson just did, if I understood correctly, perhaps advocating an assassination attempt, I think ministers need to stick to the right-hand kingdom of God and leave the left-hand kingdom to God, to as God has administered within the means of the civil government. And I don't think it's within a person's realm to take vengeance upon somebody. That's in the hands of God. And that, to my understanding of the left-hand kingdom, that's Romans 13 and other scriptures that speak of the civil government's responsibility to handle its own matters regarding that.
John, thank you very much. Now, real quickly, it would be different if Pat Robertson were simply saying that Hugo Chavez is a bad, bad man and we need to do something about it. But he's saying, no, we need to assassinate him, as opposed to go to war, as opposed to doing something else. He's advocating the assassination of Hugo Chavez. He might argue, well, I'm just asking the government to do it. I shouldn't say individuals should do it, but the government should do it through its agencies. Let's see what Kathy has to say. She calls from St. Charles. Hi, Kathy. Kathy, welcome to Issues, Etc. All right, then let's talk with Lorraine in Fairview Heights. Lorraine, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi. I sort of agree with all the previous callers. I just wanted to indicate that the thing that was most disturbing to me is that I feel that he's misrepresenting all of the Christians and Christianity. That's not what's preached, I don't believe. And he represents the Christian Broadcast Network, and one of the previous callers. I don't know what he expects the listeners to do, except perhaps we use our leaders to help guide us. And like I believe you had said earlier, has he just judged and punished someone? That's all.
Lorraine, thank you for the call. We're talking with you and taking your phone calls on Pat Robertson's remarks made yesterday on the 700 Club, calling for the assassination, the U.S. assassination of Hugo Chavez, the president of Venezuela. He says, look, this guy is going to be a hotbed for communism and for terrorist Islam. It would be cheaper than going to war. We have the means to do it. It would be simpler. We need to assassinate him. What do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It is open lines this Tuesday, August the 23rd. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So for our listeners, more or less against the idea proposed by Pat Robertson. Anyone for it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In town and country, Ron is up next. Ron, welcome.
Yeah, I was just thinking, nobody in the first century called for the assassination of Caesar. They were like lambs being led to the slaughter. Also, wasn't that something like Dietrich Bonhoeffer was involved in? And I'll just hang up. My gut feeling is I'm directly against it.
So you're against what Pat Robertson is calling for?
Yes, I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Ron, thank you very much. To answer the Dietrich Bonhoeffer question, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was involved in a peripheral way, a significant but a peripheral way, in a failed attempt on Adolf Hitler during the very end of the Second World War, or at least the European venue of the Second World War. And he was executed right before the fall of Berlin for his involvement in that assassination attempt. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer viewed it, as one of our callers mentioned, the lesser of two evils. The lesser of two evils. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. From Redbud, Sarah, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi. My comment is that wasn't World War I started by an assassination of a leader?
If I'm not mistaken, it was.
So if he's calling for an assassination and he thinks he's going to save many lives, it may backfire on him.
Sarah, thank you. Well, that might be the outcome, that an assassination could precipitate something far worse than any kind of, well, he says, we either go to war or we assassinate. Those are the two options. And he says, it's cheaper and easier and more expedient, and we have the means to assassinate. Let's do it. You know, there is a ban. I don't know if there is a law. I'm simply ignorant of this. But there is a ban on U.S. assassinations of foreign leaders. He says, look, I don't know about that. It's cheaper than going to war. Let's do it. Send in the commandos. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Harold calls from St. Charles. Hi, Harold.
Yes, you know, they mentioned Bonhoeffer and his role in the resistance movement against Hitler. But my brother, you know, who's done his research on Zasse, Hermann Zasse, the great German theologian, says nowhere, nowhere did Hermann Zasse ever call for the assassination of Hitler. Now, he warned against Hitler. You know, as Hitler was on the rise to power and took over, he just thought, you know, this man was another spirit, an evil person. But nowhere did he call for the assassination of Hitler.
Thank you very much, Harold. Now, Zasse was a contemporary there. So we had two religious leaders at the time. And let's make it very clear. Bonhoeffer didn't publicly call for the assassination of Hitler. He surreptitiously was involved in an attempt on Hitler's life, but he was not out there in the pulpits or from his seat at, if I'm not mistaken, golly, I hope I'm not mistaken, Oxford, saying, hey, let's assassinate Hitler. No. However, scratch that completely. He's not calling for it publicly, but he was involved in it. Behind the scenes. Whereas other theologians are saying the man is dangerous, he's wicked, doing the devil's work, but not calling for his assassination. Pat Robertson says, look, Hugo Chavez is a bad guy. He represents a present danger and a possible future greater danger. The U.S. needs to assassinate him. What do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Rick calls from his car. Hi, Rick.
Hi, it's Rick Tarpley.
Hey, Rick, what's up?
Hi. If I'm not mistaken, I think the United States and Iraq, the first missiles that went in were pointed right at Saddam Hussein, however they missed. I'm not sure about that. And also, if you're going to say someone's evil and maybe they should or should not be assassinated, you probably shouldn't say it on the air, being a Christian minister and all. But that's it.
Thank you very much. Well, that's what Pat Robertson has done. I mean, he said it on the air, 700 Club Television, not only nationwide, but internationally as well. You might argue that the first long-range missiles into the most recent foray into Iraq were aimed at the leadership. The military would say, no, that's an issue of taking out command and control before you carry out the rest of your mission. It's an issue of taking out the head before you take out the tail, the most efficient way to wage war, and not an assassination attempt. Tim calls from Afton. Tim, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
I had a quick question. I was wondering if assassination isn't the way to go, could we simply capture him and just have him jailed for the rest of his life?
Well, I think it's a reasonable option, Tim. Thank you very much. Yeah, why isn't Robertson saying, go get him? You remember, we did that with another leader, Central American leader, 20 years ago. Go get him. Jail him. Take him out of operation, out of circulation, and deal with him accordingly. In the Court of Human Rights, under his own laws, wait for another government so they can deal with him. You know, it's precisely what, by hook or crook, happened with Saddam Hussein. He was, by one means or another, captured and is being held for trial. But Pat Robertson doesn't say do that. He says kill him, assassinate him. What do you think? Jennifer calls from Dogtown. Hi, Jennifer.
And also the guy that censors the phone calls, he wanted me to tell you that I was in Schnooks. So probably lots of people will be listening to me talking right now. But one of the things I think where he's off base in terms of assassination is that if we were to go in there and to assassinate him, most likely there would be political upheaval, which means we'd have to send in U.S. forces to probably police the country anyway, and money would have to be spent. So,
well, it's all very expensive business anyway. Jennifer, before I let you go, and thanks for taking time out of your busy shopping to give us a call, what do you think of a Christian leader, a Christian spokesperson, in so much as Pat Robertson is calling for this kind of a thing?
I think that, saying that vocally is, it's unsettling, I would think. And, media gets around, and most likely, this president hearing this type of information will probably be even more paranoid. And I just think that those opinions need to be, kept to yourself unless you're willing to take on the debate of what is truly evil and when is it appropriate or not appropriate to take a human life.
Jennifer, thank you very much. I didn't hear whether or not Pat Robertson put forth any biblical arguments for what he was calling for. That would be interesting if he had. Usually, I would say usually, religious leaders on issues such as this keep their mouths shut, not because they have no right to have opinions, but because religious leaders ought to speak where the Lord speaks. And if the Lord doesn't speak clearly, then religious leaders have no business calling for something to be done. Can they hold their opinions? Certainly. Can they express their opinions? Well, Pat Robertson might say, I was speaking as a citizen. I was speaking as a political activist. And I wasn't speaking as the Reverend Pat Robertson. I don't know if he can ever, he did it on his religious radio television program. So that might be a harder case to make. Okay, let's talk with Bert in St. Louis. Bert, welcome.
Hi. Hi. I wanted to cite you to Romans 13, 1, that discusses that all authorities are established, or exist and have been established by God. And the policy of changing governments is one that under this, as I would understand it and interpret it, is left to God. And God can deal with it with strokes or heart attacks or mental illness, all kinds of ways. And it seems to me that this fellow in Venezuela was elected by the citizens of Venezuela, even after we've had problems with him and our government wanted to see him out. he was elected. And another point is, under George W. Bush, the presidential order against assassinations has been revoked.
All right, Bert says, God can deal with the government leaders, because he props them up and he knocks them down, and that is certainly true. And the institution of government, I think he's right in his reading on Romans 13, the institution of government ultimately lies with God and not with man. I'm not sure whether or not the order against assassinations has been officially revoked or not. Again, I plead ignorance on what that order, what the nature of that order is. The question isn't so much, is it legal? Even if it were legal, the question would still remain, is it right or is it wrong? And is it right or wrong for Pat Robertson to be calling for an assassination of a foreign leader, as a religious leader speaking publicly? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In the last few minutes, the Reverend Bob Edgar, who is General Secretary of the National Council of Churches, has been critical of what Pat Robertson had to say. Edgar says that Robertson has forgotten the lessons of the Bible.
It's appalling to the point of disbelief. It defies logic that a clergyman could so casually dismiss thousands of years of Judeo-Christian law, including the commandment that we are not to kill.
Now, Edgar is obviously invoking scripture here. He doesn't believe it is logical. He says he doesn't believe it is logical for Pat Robertson to hold one view that is of scripture ostensibly, but then call for an assassination of a foreign leader. Edgar also says that Robertson represents, well, religious extremism simply out of control.
It defies logic that this self-proclaimed Christian leader could so blithely abandon the teachings of Jesus to love our enemies and turn our cheeks against violence.
All right. I think Pat Robertson, for all the criticism that we can level at Pat Robertson here, we need to be clear. He isn't calling for any individual citizen to rise up and assassinate Hugo Chavez. He isn't calling for that. He is calling for the U.S. government to take government action, to take the sword. Now, he might be calling for the government to misuse the sword. That's really the question here. But he's calling for the government to do something. So while I agree, generally speaking, with Edgar in his criticism of Pat Robertson, to say, well, Jesus says, thou shalt not kill. Jesus is against the taking of human lives. He says we ought to pray for our enemies. We ought to bless those who persecute us. Certainly does not apply to governments as they carry the sword. There is that distinction between the government that has the right to take a life justly and the individual who is forbidden to carry out, even against his enemies, vengeance and revenge. Those two parallel chapters, if you will remember, Romans 12 and 13. Here's a little bit more from Bob Edgar from the National Council of Churches reacting to Pat Robertson.
I think it's outrageous. I served on the Select Committee on Assassinations looking into the death of both Dr. Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy. And I...
Oh, our cut was short there for some reason. Well, his credentials are assassinations are bad things. He went on to say that he can tell you personally how assassinations lead to no good whatsoever. Here again is Bob Edgar.
I think this is an example of where the ultra far right Christians have gone a step too far.
All right. A couple things in reaction before we get to that last cut from Bob Edgar. He cited, thou shalt not kill. And he says, Pat Robertson ought to listen to Jesus. Well, I agree. But he doesn't have a problem. Bob Edgar doesn't, of the National Council of Churches, doesn't necessarily have a problem with taking the life of the unborn. Or with religious leaders, organizations, denominations, giving a pass to those who take the life of the unborn. Something to note. A bit of an irony. While his criticism is correct, maybe he ought to look in the mirror a bit. One more cut from the Reverend Bob Edgar, General Secretary for the National Council of Churches.
This violates the commandment, thou shalt not kill. And I would urge Brother Robertson to read his scripture and learn it.
Well, again, while I join him in being critical of Pat Robertson, thou shalt not kill is not the piece of scripture that is in play here. It might sound like splitting hairs, but let me explain. Thou shalt not kill certainly forbids us to take innocent human life, but it does not prohibit the governments from acting in accordance with justice and bearing the sword, even if it means taking life. Again, acting justly with that sword that has been given to them. The question here is Pat Robertson calling upon the duly instituted government of the U.S. to do something that no government should ever do, to bear the sword in a way that God has not given them the sword, to misuse the sword? That's the question. This really puts a very, and one of our callers noted it, really puts a very sour face on Christianity, doesn't it? You get a guy who at least claims to be speaking for Christians and for the Christian faith and for the church to some degree, and he says, you know what we ought to do? We ought to take down that little guy down there south of the border. We ought to just assassinate him. And it sounds like foolishness to most of us, because it is. One more minor black eye for Christians. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, without any acclaim and not in front of the cameras, Christians are extending help and care and Christian concern and charity to those who are in need, whether they're our friends or our enemies, and connecting that care to the message of Christ crucified for all sinners, LCMS World Relief. For more information on their relief efforts around the world, you can call them here in St. Louis, 314-996-1683, 314-996-1683, or you can find out more by going to our website, and there on our homepage, you'll find the LCMS World Relief logo, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. When we come back from this break, hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to spend it with Stephen Parks talking about baptism. He's a student at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and a former research consultant for the Christian Research Institute. He has written recently in our Issues Etc. journal about his move from, from evangelicalism in general to the Reformation, and he says baptism played a big part in it. We'll find out about that in the second hour of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.